Hello, Cherokee County. This is Lynn Saunders, your host at Cherokee Conversations, and you are listening to 102.9 FM or mygraceradio.com. This is a weekend show that we pre-record, and I try to find pertinent people slash topics to bring to your attention. And this time, it was a little bit different. It was like, okay, I want the topic to be helpful to, here we are just before the holidays. I wanted it to be helpful to guide conversations around the gathering table, the social event, so there's no like crazy disputes and falling out of relationships. But I didn't know the right person. And so I reached out to my friend Rebecca Johnston, who knows everybody. And immediately she came up with this lady, Mary Migliaro, who said would be perfect. Mary writes some for a couple of the local newspapers, so her name might be very, very familiar to you. But Rebecca thought that she would be the perfect person. So we've got Mary joining us today, and I'm really excited because this is a topic that is everybody's going to face those conversations at some point that you're thinking, how do I get out of this? And Mary's going to just shine a lot of insight on the subject. So, Mary, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
it's my pleasure. So, I do know just a little bit about you that you've got a big background in nonprofits, in consulting, and writing for some local papers. Would you tell the listeners a little bit more about what makes Mary tick and why you have just gathered so much experience or information about this topic today?
Well, I think the most important thing to know about me is that I was the oldest of five children. And I grew up in a military family. And when you do that, you learn to accommodate all kinds of situations and cultures and different kinds of things that need to be attended to in order to get along with people you meet along the way.
And two, being the oldest of five, you probably had to settle a lot of disputes with your siblings.
Yes, that was very true. I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's true. If anybody has siblings, they know that's very true.
And being the
You
oldest of five, yes.
learn to help the children accommodate each other and make sure they don't kill each other in the process. So.
Well, that's the goal for this season, isn't it? Yes, at least.
Yes, it is.
Though, okay, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that really is what led me to become a teacher, and I absolutely loved it. I got my degree in early childhood education and my master's in the same thing, and I taught for 30 years in the public school system.
Really?
Yes, and along the way, when they started changing the way they thought we should teach, I thought it was about time for me to move on to something else. Not that I had planned to, but it was the No Child Left Behind that was rather difficult because it used to be you could go in your classroom, close the door, and facilitate the children's learning process. And now it's forms, records, meetings, this, that, the other. And you don't have that wonderful time with the children when you see the light bulb come on and they get it. And so I was missing that. And I was kind of casting around for something to look at. For many years, I was involved in PTA. One day, my principal came to me and asked me if I would go with him to a meeting. He said, the Child Abuse Council in Atlanta is coming to talk to our community about starting an organization to help prevent child abuse. Well, that was right up my alley. I said, well, if you'll go to the meeting, I'll go with you.
Okay.
So we went together, and that was the last time he went to a meeting, but I kept going. And eventually, we gathered together a group of about 15 people who decided that was something we needed to do. And we were able to do that with the facilitation of the state office. You know, they start chapters much like franchises. So we did, we incorporated. We began as the Cherokee County Council on Child Abuse. And over the years, we started the court-appointed special advocates program and a number of other things, initiatives, mainly a lot of prevention. And we started parenting classes and parenting support groups
I love that.
because parents want to be good parents They don't always know how to be good parents.
That's
They
right.
tend to parent the way they were parented.
That's
And
right.
so this was a way to help give them the tools that they needed to be successful.
My experience through Papa's Pantry and Encompass Ministries, we would see just family after family after family where they did need those parenting classes. They would come in for, their interview or to get, groceries and stuff like that that they needed. And the kids would just run absolutely wild. And the adults were not equipped to even have a structure to say, no, this is a place of business. You're going to sit down and just color and just, certainly give them something to do, but just not equipped. And
No,
no.
the system was not there to help them either. What would happen is someone would report a family for child abuse, or a teacher would report, and the Department of Family and Children's Services would come in to investigate. And they would call the parents in and say, we're going to have to take your children for a while. You're going to need to get a solid job. You're going to need to get parenting classes. And they would say, well, where do we go to get parenting classes? And they said, well, we're not sure. We don't have any here in Cherokee County, but you should go to Cobb County. Well, that's setting a family up to fail.
Correct.
And you and I both know that's not the optimum thing for families. So we did. We started with a lot of parenting classes, and then eventually we formed a partnership with DFACS because they were required to take children in sometimes in the middle of the night,
Right.
and didn't have enough foster homes to take care of them. And so we eventually opened up the Cherokee Center up in Canton that was a children's shelter. So that was open for a number of years, and then the policies changed at the state level. And they were no longer needed. We did a lot of that, but in all of that, and then in the consulting, when I left the council, I started doing consulting because I realized there were a lot of nonprofits that had wonderful missions, but you can't achieve your mission if you don't have the infrastructure for it. They had maybe not a very good board, they didn't have good structures, good policies and procedures, whatever it was. That's what I would go in. I would assess what they needed, and then we would do what they needed. And
You are needed. That is an important role in the nonprofit world.
I love that.
It's such a vast array of skills that an executive director or a board or a board chair needs to
Absolutely.
have to be able to function appropriately within policy, within the mission, without mission creep and fundraising, because it takes money for a nonprofit to
This is true
operate.
all the time, all especially now in these times. When I left doing a lot of consulting, I was privileged to be writing articles for the Cherokee Tribune and the Pickens County Progress newspapers. Cherokee County's Ledger News online, anybody can go online and Google my name and bring up articles, but they run an article every week and one day a week in the newspaper in Cherokee. And normally the Pickens Progress runs an article about every week. I write two different articles for them though. One is a Family Matters column that's all about families and blended families and all kinds of things, grandparents, you name it. The other one is called Senior Moments,
Oh, no.
and it's really just for seniors. And some of the articles are hilarious and some of them are serious, but like how to talk to an elderly person in your family about driving. You know, different things that are
Hard
very
conversation.
difficult. That's mostly what I do right now is write the articles. But I have friends who call or colleagues who call and say, you know, can you help me out with this, that, or the other? And I do. I don't charge anybody for it anymore because it's my gift to if I can give anything that could help somebody, I'm happy to do it. So out of that sort of came the, I wrote an article recently about handling grief during the holidays, which is difficult for a lot of people. And out of that came the conversations and how charged those conversations can be. Because as we headed to the holidays, we all have this preconceived idea of what our holidays are going to look like.
Right.
And it's not like the Norman Rockwell painting all the time. And very often, what happens because we're so polarized now is that somebody says something in the course of a conversation that triggers someone else, and then the next thing you know, people are arguing or somebody's spoiling the event. So I spent some time researching that.
So how with the holidays and that Norman Rockwell type of imagery, what can you advise hosts hostesses across the county, or anybody who might maybe is even listening to this show online through mygraceradio.com, what advice can you give them about expectations?
Well, short of putting out the welcome mat that says, "Please leave your politics at the door," and or walking around and telling people, "Why don't you change the subject?" Just a thought.
There you go.
But that's usually what happens, that people have a need to, and maybe there are people who don't socialize very much. Seniors especially don't get out a lot, and they can have very solid opinions as well about something. And
Yes, they
they
do.
want to know from their daughter or son when they're going to have another baby. And those are things that people maybe don't want to talk about. It's the holidays. You want to have a nice time and go home and relax and sleep good at night. I would like to tell people the main thing in any conversation is being a good listener. And there's an art form to being a good listener.
That's good advice.
Yes, if you've ever been talking with someone at a party or in a gathering of any kind, and you see their eyes drifting over past you, that's a good indication they're not really listening to you. They're looking around the room to either see somebody they can go to get away from you or exclude themselves from the conversation. And so part of the tips for people when they get in those situations is to learn that you can make the decision to remove yourself. You can simply say, "I'm so sorry, I need to use the ladies' room or the gentlemen's room, or I need to take this call. I'll get back with you later." And just remove yourself from the circumstance, because very often people who are trying to get their point across are baiting people, see when they'll pull the trigger and when they'll get in a back and forth, and then they try to convince them to come over to their side and what they think about, and that's a no-win situation for sure.
So what do you do when you've got predictable, Uncle Joe at the table, who's a known grumposaurus, and he's going to make sure to tell you all about his politics. This is right now we've got an election going on. And we've had a lot of elections this past year, special elections, and the next year is going to be a big year too. What do you tell Uncle Joe? Do you talk to him beforehand, or do you just have code with everybody else around the table? I mean, what is the best way?
Well, usually, if it's mostly family around the table, they all know Uncle Joe, and they know what his favorite thing to do at a gathering is. So, it's always better to be proactive than reactive. So, it can be as simple as before the party or the gathering, just to go meet with Uncle Joe and have a cup of coffee or tea with him, and say, "The holidays are very loaded emotionally for people, and I know they are for you too. So this year, let's try to avoid any of those things that might make people feel uncomfortable. We want everybody to have fun, eat a lot of good food, and have a nice time." And then that's all you can do. You leave Uncle Joe to hopefully follow through with what you've requested of him. But I wouldn't get to the other people in the family. They know what Uncle Joe is. If Uncle Joe shows up and he doesn't start talking about politics, everybody will be surprised but happy.
And they shouldn't bring it up either,
No,
just to fill in.
I don't think that ever happens. If you've got somebody who comes to a party who's a blowhard, who's going to get in there and just give everybody their what for, the rest of the people just kind of get silent anyway.
Okay. All right. What are good topics to talk about?
Well, I think any family gathering is absolutely to talk about the good times and catch up. Many people have not seen each other for a while, so it's a good time to catch up. How is little Susie? Did she ever graduate from high school? And is little Johnny playing baseball this year? And just catching up with family, because nobody writes letters anymore. Very few people pick up the phone and call to say, "How are you doing? What's going on?" They only call when there's something relevant they have to talk to somebody about. I think for me, one of the worst things about cell phones is cell phones. I would like for everybody to, when they come to a party, to put their cell phone in a basket by the door, and let's have a feast and conversation. And that reminds me of I taught part time at Kennesaw State, and I was teaching a human services class, and we were talking about the detrimental effect of cell phones on personal relationships. And I had a student who raised her hand and she wanted to say something. I said, sure. She said, well, I just want to say I have a younger brother and he went out on a blind date. And this friend of mine and I went to have dinner and we didn't realize we showed up at the same restaurant where my brother was. And she said, I told my friend, this is going to be good. Let's get a table where we can see them, but they can't see us, because then I'll know how my little brother acts on a blind date. So that's what they did. And they sat down and they watched, and there was her brother and his date. And they both have their cell phones out and they're both texting, 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 texting.
Really?
And that went on for like 10 minutes. And she said to her friend, I'm sorry, I can't deal with this anymore. I'll be right back. So she went over to the table where her younger brother was. She
Really?
said to his date, could you pardon my brother for just a minute, please? And she took him to the side and she said, well, you put your cell phone away. You're on a date. You're supposed to be getting to know each other. You need to talk to each other. He said, we are talking to each other.
They're texting each other.
They were texting each other at the table.
Oh my goodness.
I
Oh
told that
my
student,
goodness.
I said, I have never heard of anything like that. Isn't that just so
Oh,
ridiculous?
it's terrible. Oh, sad.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
But you see people like that every day. You walk anywhere. It's a wonder more people don't die from text distraction, you know, because they walk. You've seen videos of some people, they're texting and they fall into the fountain at the mall, you know, because they weren't paying attention where they were going. And you know, life is too short. You can't develop any relationships that way. And so at a party, during the holidays, whatever it is, if you don't find a way to control your environment, and you can to the most extent, then you're susceptible to becoming one of those victims.
And then too, you know, with the text, you can, or an email too. You can't always hear tone of voice in those things. And I remember I had something with one of my daughters. We were texting back and forth, and I was like, geez, you know, capital GEEEZ, you know. And it was a geez, like, I missed that. I was the geez was on me. She thought the geez was on her, and I was criticizing her. And so when we finally talked, it was like, oh. Okay, yeah, I get it. We laughed about it afterwards, but something that simple that, you know, it was a 2 second text and thought just to close it out, like, my bad. And she took it like a criticism. So just can't ever tell.
No, it can destroy a relationship because that might be the one thing that breaks that person from you, and then you never talk again. And it's over something so simple, not a family member, perhaps, hopefully not, but it's something so simple that it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They were against each other for so long and over so many generations that in the end, people didn't even know why they got mad at each other in the first place.
Well, last year, was it last year after the elections and all the Trump, you know, mania, whether you love him or whether you hate him, they were family members saying, you are not invited to my house this Thanksgiving because of the way that you voted, or this Christmas. And I feel like we've maybe come, hopefully, a little bit more sane as we are in the holiday season this year than last year. What would you think? Do you feel like it's kind of less tense?
It's difficult to say. On any given day, it could be up, it could be down, it could be
That's
nothing, it
true.
could be an earthquake. But for me, just speaking personally, I have people in my family who have the opposite political preference that I do. And when they come to visit, they just know that we don't talk politics in the house. We just don't. They're family. I love them. They love me. And they're not going to convince me to come to their side. I'm not going to convince them to come to my side. Not that it should be that way, but what we're doing when we try to do that is validate what we believe. And when someone doesn't recognize it, it triggers us to trying to make them come over to understanding.
With the kids, if we could go back to that conversation, because something else just triggered in my mind. When you have kids that are at a holiday gathering, like a Thanksgiving or a Christmas or something in between, and they're on their cell phones, they aren't learning how to have conversation within the family. They're not listening to what makes a family tick, or what the vacation was like, or the family dog, or whoever, you know, whatever that conversation is. So how would you suggest recommending to your host or hostess, if they don't already have this insight, to ask the children not to have their cell phones during the entire event? Is that appropriate, or is that overstepping a
No,
family?
I think as a hostess or host, it's your prerogative to do whatever you want. And I just let people know it's not just for the children. You have a lovely decorated basket inside the front door, and there are companies when they have meetings, staff meetings, there's a
Right.
basket in the middle of the table. Your phone goes there on silent, and that way we focus completely on what's going on. So I would just have a decorated basket inside the front door with a sign that says no cell phones. Leave it here, park it here, and you can pick it up when you leave. And if they don't like that, they can go back home and talk on their cell phone or text all night if they want to. But it's that distraction. You know, those cell phones were designed, all of this crazy technology we have was designed to make us more productive and better at
Right.
engaging, and it's made it worse.
Yeah.
Teachers can't teach spelling anymore because the kids can't spell. They text with all those letters, you know, that you don't know what they mean, but they know what they mean, like some kind of code, and they can't spell. I've seen student papers I had at Kennesaw State, and these were sophomores, juniors. They couldn't spell, and they might try spell check, but that doesn't work if the words is there and you don't know if it's THEIR or THERE. And that's what I would tell them. You can only spell check so much. Have someone else spell check your paper for you. And using AI now, very scary. So it's if you want to have people engaged in a conversation at an event, make them park those cell phones.
Okay, that's really good advice. What are your thoughts about serving alcohol? At if you know that you have a potential of sparking something undesirable, would you just recommend not to offer alcohol at all, or keep it limited, or just limit it yourself to keep yourself in control? What are your thoughts about that?
I enjoy a nice glass of wine from time to time with a meal and that kind of thing. But I do know some people for whom, at the end of that glass of wine, they can't stop. They want another glass of wine. And then that was great. Let's have one more. And I think at a holiday gathering, especially if you have children and teenagers there, I just wouldn't serve alcohol. They can have a drink at home before they come. They can go back home after the party and drink if they want to. If they can't manage to make it through a gathering without drinking, they'll stay home. But that is another way to ensure, number one, that nobody has too much to drink and goes and drives home, and God knows what happens. So my preference would be, you know, and if they don't agree and they don't like it, they can stay home, unfortunately. You know, I would hate to miss them at my party, but I would understand if I know that they're having struggles with alcohol.
Okay. And so in our last couple of minutes, Mary, the time has just flown by the way, and I kind of knew it would be fast. Do you have any like last minute encouragements or thoughts that you could share with the audience as they are preparing to either be guests or be the hosts?
Well, we've given them some good pointers on things that they can try, of course. They need to do some reflection as they're planning their gathering or event of how they want it to be. And they will most certainly want it to be successful, but what things do they need to have in place to ensure that will happen? And invariably, there'll be somebody who says something when they're not supposed to say it, and stuff will happen. But if that does happen, you just can go over and kind of cajole them and say, let's get back to having some fun, or take your wife over there to the mistletoe and give her a kiss, or you know, something like
Cute, very, very cute.
that.
Well, Mary, thank you for your time today, your wisdom, your insight. I would love to have you back other times. You've got some great topics that you talk about with, and you write about. And I think that they're just priceless topics that our audience would enjoy. So,
Well, I have had the best time and enjoyed meeting you and speaking with you, and hopefully, if the audience wants to, they can go online to the Cherokee Tribune Ledger News or the Pickens County Progress sites and check out some of those things there. I've been writing for several years now, and there's over 300 articles that are already have been published. So I'd
fantastic.
love to come back anytime. I love helping people, and if I can do anything for someone to make them have a better day, I'm happy to do it.
Love it. Love it. Thank you again, Mary. And to our listeners out there, have some great holidays over these next few weeks and just look at the joy. Remember, the reason for the season is Jesus. That's who we serve. And we certainly don't want to dishonor him with petty conversations or explosive outbursts or anything like that. Thank you again, Mary, and God
Thank
bless.
you.